Hare Krishna. Nature, Enjoyer and Consciousness. That's the title of this 13th chapter, in which Krishna describes six topics regarding Prakriti, that's nature, Purusha, that's the enjoyer, the field of activity is Kshetra, the knower of the field of activities, knowledge, and the object of knowledge. Some very important philosophical points being addressed in this chapter. It's a little technical sometimes. But the important thing when he talks about the qualities of knowledge, it's very interesting. There are more than 20 qualities highlighted. And nowhere does he mention a degree from such and such university, or an A-level, or an O-level degree. What are the things he talks about? What constitutes knowledge? Let's take just a sample. Humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease, detachment, and so on. Such are the features that constitute knowledge. Krishna doesn't say you need to be expert in a particular field of knowledge like science or mathematics or something like that. So when we talk of knowledge, we're talking of something that is very deep. Someone can have a lot of knowledge of mathematics, let's say, and have none of these qualities. He may not be humble, may not be prideless, may not be simple. Then that person is not considered wise. So wisdom and knowledge are to be understood differently from what we understand today. Today we do not see the personal qualities or the character of a person. We only look at the kind of external knowledge the person may have. But here is an eye-opener for us. If we really want to be in knowledge, then we have to cultivate these qualities. And the first and most important quality is humility. Just imagine. Because if you are truly knowledgeable, you'll understand that we are all so insignificant. One time there was a group of devotees sitting with Prabhupada and he was mentioning, he wanted to get home this point. Perhaps one of the devotees may not have exhibited this quality sufficiently. So Prabhupada said, look, we are, the spiritual world that Krishna lives in is immeasurable, unlimited planets. In one corner of the spiritual sky is one cloud that constitutes the material world. In this material world, which by our estimation is practically limitless, there are innumerable universes, each which are gigantic. Amongst these universes, we live in one universe, which is a medium-sized universe. In this one universe, there are so many planets. And the earth planet is just one planet, a tiny planet. And on this earth planet there are so many countries. And in this one, amongst all these countries is one country that we are sitting in. And amongst this one country there are so many cities, and there's one city we are sitting in. And in this city there are so many streets, and we are sitting in one. And in this one street there are so many buildings, and we're sitting in one. And in this one building there are so many rooms, and we're sitting in one. And in this one room there are so many people, and there is one person who thinks, I am special. So really, if anybody is not godly, has nothing to do with spirituality, but just thinks about his or her place in the universe, it's immediately humbling. You can't afford to be proud. Because when you look at the world around you, you understand the utter insignificance of all of us. And where does that pride go when your aircraft hits a patch of turbulence and you go into free fall for a few seconds? Or you're in the middle of an ocean in a ship and there's a huge wave that comes and tosses the ship. There goes all our knowledge and everything. So these are very important criteria here. That humility is the first quality or the symptom of knowledge. As we go on, Krishna also makes an important point about the super soul, the object of knowledge, the super soul who's seated, Krishna who's seated in our hearts. Krishna is present not only in his kingdom in Goloka Vrindavan, but he's also present in the heart of every living entity. And Krishna says here, the super soul has hands everywhere, eyes everywhere, heads everywhere, and this appears to be inconceivable. How is that possible? How can any one person have heads and hands everywhere? I'll tell you a little story. It's a true story. You've heard of the Kumbh Mela. It's the largest religious gathering on the planet. Millions of people gather there. And I've heard this firsthand from the person's family who experienced this. There was one of these rest houses where people were staying, the pilgrims stayed. This was on the first floor. And this lady, she came out to dry her clothes or something like that onto the balcony. And you had a whole lot of these sadhus and yogis walking by. And there was one yogi, he saw the lady up there. And he extended his hand from the road, which was a good 50 feet away. And the hand reached right up to the balcony and said, Mate Bhiksham Dehi, which means, Mother, please give me some charity. And the hand extended all the way from where the man was, all till where she was standing in the balcony. Please give me some charity. You can well imagine what her condition was. I think she passed out probably. And this is possible for an ordinary yogi who has a bit of mystic power. So if an ordinary yogi can stretch his hands to accept something from somebody at a distance, why can Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the omnipotent, omnipresent one, extend his hand and accept whatever offerings we make when we do? When we were speaking about the ninth chapter, we mentioned that Krishna says we can offer a leaf, a fruit, flower, water, and Krishna promises, I will accept it. And Prabhupada, in the purport in this verse here, says, people may doubt, Krishna is sitting in Goloka Vrindavan, how can he accept it? But Krishna has hands and legs everywhere. As a super soul, he's all-pervading, therefore he does indeed accept. He stretches his hand out and accepts everything that we offer him with love and devotion. So we shouldn't think that when we offer to Krishna that he doesn't accept it. He accepts it to the degree of the devotion we have when we offer it. Hare Krishna.